This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are here in Las Vegas with the Consumer Electronics Show. As you can probably tell from the audio quality, we are not in the mobile studio. We're actually squeezing in some interviews out and about, and this is one of those. We're actually doing this down at the Four Seasons Hotel here in Las Vegas. Cable Labs actually has an event later on this afternoon where we bring together a number of companies in what we call our Innovation Showcase. But we also do the what we call the Fitterator programs throughout the fall timeline, where we select 3 to 4 companies a year, and we work with them to actually drive a product market fit aimed at specifically the industry we serve, which is the cable industry. And today's guest is actually one of those companies from our most recent Fitterator program. So Rama, thanks for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Phil. Thanks for having me here.
So, yeah, normally I have all the Fitterator companies on the show, but you're one of those that we haven't had a chance to get it. And actually, I prefer to do these face-to-face. So give us a little bit of background on yourself.
Well, I'm a scientist by training, and here I am starting a SaaS company and running it for the last 2 years, right? So I'm a chemical engineer by my degrees, and I've worked most of my previous life before Blitz has been around thin films, smart films that are deposited on wafers, which go into chips. Also, I did a lot of research on biomedical substrates for microfluidic applications towards medical devices.
So how do you go from that kind of, well, I mean, look, I always jokingly say, right, I started off my degree as I wanted to be an architect. And then I figured out it was a 5-year degree program, and I'm like, not going to happen. So it is interesting how people start down one path, but they go down a completely different path.
Yes, it is. I mean, I find it pretty amazing myself about this, the winding journeys I've taken, but when I look back, they're all connected, and the fundamental thought process in my journey was solving problems. And I've always been an experimentalist, be it at home or at my work when I'm working with semiconductor equipment or vacuum chambers. And solving problems was an integral part of my daily life there. And I just wanted to make things efficient, and that's what got me all the way to Blitz.
So is that, if we go back and look at your childhood, was that the thing you were doing? You're driving your parents nuts?
Well, you know, I had a lot of inspiration from my dad. I mean, I used to call him MacGyver, the Indian MacGyver, born and raised in India. But MacGyver was, you know, somebody I followed even from there. And my dad was always fixing things. So luckily, it's not myself to blame. It's really him to blame.
It's hereditary, right?
Yes.
And so give us a little bit of context and background on Blitz.
Yes. So the background is this. I mean, when I was actually doing my PhD and postdoc for that matter, a lot of work revolved around using experimental setups, which had a lot of vacuum chambers, a lot of sensors, a lot of equipment. And every time something went wrong, because they all came from different vendors, they were complicated pieces of equipment. With laser sources, for example, deposition, material deposition systems, and they all came from a different vendors manufacturing different pieces of that entire what we call a cluster tool. Literally, it was a cluster of tools put together. And what happened several times for a lot of researchers was some of these tools would break down, and the funny thing was, we were all experimentalists, good at fixing stuff. But then the vendor we'd contact would call them on a 1-800 number or send them an email. They would take 2 weeks just to come and take a look at it. And sometimes it was a simple enough fix that they could have told me over the phone, especially if they had eyes on the problem. So that inefficiency really drove me crazy because I was waiting to get back to work, get these equipments up and running, and so that I could get back to work. And so out of that necessity of quickly bringing these tools back up to operation, Blitz was born. And what Blitz is essentially is it brings in live video, augmented reality, and interactive markup, and artificial intelligence to technical support, especially when support is far away, they can't see the problem. You know how you can call a cable company for your router going bad? Imagine if that, when you make that first call, that person is actually standing next to you and seeing what your problem is, empathizing with you in order to, instead of actually you having to explain what's going wrong. Well, that's what we do at Blitz.
It's interesting because even though, you know, I've had multiple conversations, I didn't have the context on the background of what was the real motivator for it. But, you know, and look, you know, I got 20 years in the telecom space before I got into consumer electronics. And the biggest frustration was always the customer care. The call center reps want to help. You know, they want to be able to solve a customer's problem. But, you know, trying to turn the customer's hands into remote hands never has all that great of an outcome.
Yes, that is true to an extent. But if the problems are very, very simple, you know, like, you know, a lot of times people call because they don't know where the input button on a remote is for switching to the right input source on their TV, right? And but the call center rep is frustrated, can't see it, can't point them, can't see the remote. It might be a different third-party remote. And they have to dispatch a truck for what is literally a one-minute fix. And especially if the customer has to pay for it, sometimes they do because it's not contracted. What happens is they're like, the technician goes in there, they charge the customer $100 and he fixes it in 1 minute, and the customer is really pissed that it's, yeah. You know, that happens a lot. So imagine today where that, when that same problem happens, the customer service rep can send a text message to the smartphone. The smartphone, at the hands of the consumer, the subscriber, subscriber then clicks on that link without an app download. You know, you don't have to worry about the Play Store they ask you for the password and stuff like that. Without an app download, the back camera turns on, and now all of a sudden, the customer rep can see what's going on, and then solve the problem really quick. Now, this is just the consumer-facing side of it, and there are other aspects, which is for internal support, where a technician is standing on a bucket truck looking at an amplifier, and he needs similar support from a subject matter expert at HQ. He can even do it over a phone, where he can, the back camera, same thing, or he can wear smart glasses, where he can work with his hands free with somebody actually watching him do it. So there's a lot of different ramifications of this technology, basically bringing in a subject matter expert to literally standing next to you, watching the problem, guiding you to solving it.
So is the solution always a human-to-human type of implication? So it's, you know, if I've got a problem, I've got a live person on the other end? Or does this start to move into creating some kind of a knowledge base over time?
Absolutely. So we start off initially with human-to-human because there are call center reps already doing this kind of job, but they're almost doing this without eyes on the problem, right? So we're enabling them to do their job better, faster, reduce resolution time. But as you can see, these calls can be recorded. They could be computer vision, where you can point a phone at a piece of equipment. It recognizes it maybe by scanning the serial number or model number or just by computer vision itself, and it pulls up a related video to troubleshoot it really quick. If the consumer at the other end is capable enough of handling that technical information and that. But there's a lot of this kind of intelligence that can be gathered because of these because of the video streaming, and then there could be the augmented reality capability, which on top of it, right? So there's a lot of potential in AI as well.
Yeah, in the AI piece, as always, right? We're here at the Consumer Electronics Show. I'm gonna play my buzzword bingo and count how many times AI is used in an advertisement for every product. Everybody's embedding AI. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Rama from Blitz, talk more about the company and its use and applications and kind of what the customer experience has been. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. We'd love to hear your feedback. Everything we talk about here in the show will also appear in the show notes up at killerinnovations.com. And remember, we are here at CES. There'll be a whole series of shows, so you want to check that out. Subscribe to us over on iTunes or iHeartRadio or Spotify or anywhere else where you get your podcast shows. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. Hey, Rama, we were talking in the last break around, you know, how some of your customers are using it, but give us some more concrete examples of how customers are actually deploying this and what's kind of been the benefit that they've seen from it.
Absolutely. So let's take the example within the cable industry, right? So we've got two different major use cases. The first one is the customers are using this technology to interact with their customers or subscribers. And that was the call center example that I talked about earlier in the earlier segment of this talk. The second use case is for internal support, where you've got these customers have their own internal technicians driving around in vans to fix problems. And specifically in the cable industry, they could be at a head end. They could be on top of a bucket truck anywhere in the outside plant. They could be just outside at the subscriber's home at a tap, or even inside the customer's subscriber's home looking at a problem. And depending on the complexity of the problem they're solving, they might need, or they pretty often need, subject matter expertise who's going to be at HQ with the answers to that problem. So these are the two big use cases that customers today are leveraging Blitz for.
Yeah, now we've been talking a lot about cable, but given your background in the semiconductor space, which is kind of a little bit, sounds like the motivation for Blitz, is the problem space generic enough for a broad set of industries?
Absolutely, it is. The potential is huge because anywhere, think of it this way: anywhere there's a piece of equipment in the real world that needs to be looked at, troubleshooting procedures have to be carried out, installed, replaced, maintained. There is the potential of Blitz being there. And that could be in businesses. It could be inside the consumer's home. The next time you have a problem with your microwave or your router, you could be unknowingly using Blitz when you make that call. So.
Yeah. And talk about a little bit about, because there's been other attempts at doing this in the past, right? We've all, is it a convergence of certain technologies that are making this available? Is there a unique twist you've taken on it that other people overlooked? Why Blitz?
There are multiple factors why Blitz. The first one is the timing today is perfect because the smartphones, both the iOS and Android platforms have the processing capabilities for live video, high quality video, augmented reality, and the AI piece as well. So that's one thing. More and more people have already been using live video in their personal lives, and it's only a matter of time that it comes into customer service in the industry, right? And the bandwidth is amazing, especially in the cable industry, right? So you need, this is the bandwidth put to great use for exceptional customer support. So that's one aspect. And then the other side of things is, yes, we are unique in a way that we're capturing the resolution journey from the start of the problem to the very end when it's actually resolved, and we're tracking that data. So every journey has different kinds of interactions. There could be phone calls, emails, text messages. We capture all that data in that thread, which we call the resolution journey, and harness the intelligence from that, because a lot of these things repeat themselves. They repeat themselves in a disconnected fashion today with different texts trying different methods without sharing them. So we bring them together and capture that tribal knowledge, and our AI and automation starts making use of that existing knowledge in a very efficient way, so that the next time the same problem crops up, the time to resolve it is much, much faster because we know where the answers are.
Well, it opens up an interesting question, right? Because more and more we're seeing, particularly the younger generation, where they want to do self-help. They don't want to get on the phone with anybody in a customer call center. They want to be able to resolve it. In the frustration level that they feel today when they can't self-resolve it. So what you're saying is Blitz, in effect, subconsciously captures the inherent knowledge base and then exposes that? Is that what it's about?
Yes, it exposes that within an organization to its technicians. And also when you go to the consumer side, let me give you an example of how, you know, when I was redoing my kitchen, it took me 300 hours to rebuild it. And this was at a time, this was just 4 years ago, where I was looking at YouTube videos. But then it was an overload of information where I did not know which video to follow because none of those videos exactly solved my problem. 10 years ago, we wouldn't have found any videos for this. So right now we're kind of, what Blitz does is within an organization, it brings an intelligence and efficiency in using capturing, I should say, first, and then using that information and to efficiently give it to people who need it just in time.
Yeah, but the important point you point out, though, is it's also validated answer.
Yes.
Versus the unvalidated answer, right? The only way you validate a YouTube video is how many thumbs up did it get and how many views does it have, and read the comments. Did someone try and it burned their house down? That's probably not a video you want to go. Right. You want to go and try. And what's been the reaction from consumers? I mean, when the consumer says, hey, I'm going to text you this link and click on it, you know, depending on the age and experience of a consumer, you're going to get a pretty radical experience.
You're absolutely right, Phil. There are consumers who are paranoid about their phone's camera being turned on and somebody remote comes and takes a look at it. But then if it's all about how you present that support to them. I mean, you know, you're ready to get text messages from Lyft and Uber with the photograph of a driver or a car. In a similar fashion, if you present it in a way that, hey, we're here to help you, empathize with you, and you don't have to block time off for me to come over and help you 3 days later and take time off from work. I can see it now and solve it. So that approach of empathy really alleviates a lot of those concerns. But the millennials and the younger generation, oh, they just gobble it up. Not at all.
Yeah, they have no qualms about turning on that camera. Who knows who's on the other side on the other side watching it. So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the history of Blitz, you know, from its founding to its fundraising and to where it is today. So when we come back, we'll dig in a little bit more specifically on the company. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. As I mentioned before, we're coming up on the launch of season 15 in March. So I would love to hear any thoughts, ideas, feedback you would have. We're starting season 15. What was it you would like Killer Innovations to focus on for the next 15 years? I would never have believed I would have started it, you know, that we would be here today 15 years later. So appreciate all that support. So drop me a note, phil@killinnovations.com. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. So, Rama, let's talk a little bit about Blint. It's not a company that's been around all that long, what, 2 years? So, give us a little bit of the background of how, what was going on pre the formation of the company, and then you're 2 years into this. I'm always interested in kind of the lessons learned. You know, entrepreneurs always kind of think they've got that path perfectly laid out, and then you get Murphy moves in and then mucks it all up.
Yes, Phil, that is absolutely right. So officially, yes, Blint has been around for a little over 2 years, but unofficially a lot longer with me and Keor, my co-founder and CTO, trying a lot of different ideas around telecommunication with video. It all started with that housing project that really kicked things into action. Where, you know, I've got a we just bought a home, my wife and I, in San Jose, and homes are so expensive out there. I'm only half joking when I say I had to donate a kidney to be able to afford it. So we had to do a lot of renovation. It was a 50s home, and the kitchen was very, very old. So a 300-hour project that I took on is what really gave that momentum to Blint, because I wanted help. And I almost wished, this was back in 2014, when I wished that I could say, hey, Siri, can you find me a plumber or a home improvement expert who could look at the problem that I'm solving and give me quick advice and not charge me $300 to come and fix it for me. I just wanted, like, for $40, I could get advice over the phone while he's looking at the problem, and I just go do it. So that's how it started. And Kira, my co-founder, was building collaboration platforms using video and augmented reality at that time. We put our heads together and tried out different applications of Blint. And this is all in almost a year before Blint was officially incorporated. In fact, we took it to the home improvement space first. Realized that we'd have to have a whole bunch of transactions between home improvement professionals and homeowners for us to make some amount of money from that transaction. So we abandoned that, and then we pivoted to what Blint is today, which is catering video, AR, and AI to field service and customer service teams and businesses. So that's how it started. A big boost that came out for us in the early days was getting into Alchemist Accelerator in the Bay Area. Great accelerator. And so I really encourage entrepreneurs to, even if they are experienced, to go through an accelerator, because it really quickly brings in the best practices. I mean, I would not know how to fundraise if I'd not gone to the accelerator. Ravi, Daniel, Ash, all those guys at the Alchemist was phenomenal. And it's always about the people for me. So that was the fundraising experience, go-to-market experience that Kira and I underwent. And then, after that, it's been significant milestones, points of inflection all around the journey for the last, along the journey for the last 2 years.
So what's been the funding rounds have been so far?
Yes, so we did an angel round, followed by a seed round from our lead investor is Ulu Ventures. They're they're a great firm out of Palo Alto in the Silicon Valley. And so, but it's at a seed round stage. We're hoping that we've got we can take that all the way to a Series A in the coming months. And we've got enough traction, and we believe we'll get there.
Yeah, one of the questions I get a lot of, because again, you know, 55% of the listeners of the show are in the U.S., 45% are outside the U.S., and even of the U.S. ones, you know, probably 25% are in the Valley, 75% are not in the Valley. So talk a little bit about your thoughts on the ability to do startups outside of the Valley. I know you don't have any direct experience, but everybody kind of thinks everything has to happen in the Valley.
It's just because of the concentration. I think anywhere, it really takes is passion. And because of how connected we are today, we can use the tools today to connect with great mentors. I mean, that's what we were here at the UpRamp program in Cable Labs, thanks to your support, Phil, as well. So where we have, you know, great mentors like Scott and Lisa and Satish and Caruso. So we've had a great amount of mentorship, even outside the valley. Mm-hmm. So it's really about the passion, getting in touch with people who've been there and done that. And once you establish that relationship with people, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it's you know, one of the things that I have a little bit of a personal passion on is trying to convince entrepreneurs you can do it anywhere, right? And it does get down to the passion. So what's next for Blitz? You know, you're getting some good traction now. You're getting some, I'm aware of some of your proof of concept work that's underway. But what's next for you guys?
I think this year is going to be the year of cable and possibly even the insurance industry. Cable, thanks to the Federator program, we've got a lot of proof of values going on with limited deployments. That is very, very exciting for us. The next phase is after these proof of values, they get converted into full-scale deployments, in which case we're busy. We're going to be hiring and you know, deploying to one of some of the large MSOs in this country is a formidable task, but it's exciting and challenging at the same time. So we've got to hire a lot of people, go implement this technology and improve people's lives. Insurance is another big area where imagine just the same technology can be used for claims management, looking at damages, minimizing fraud in the insurance vertical. So that's another area where there is some traction happening. And so this year is predominantly going to be cable, followed by insurance. And there are other industries we're looking at, but thanks to the support of the cable labs, we've got our work cut out this year for us.
Yeah, just be careful what you wish for, right? You get one big guy, and you can become pretty swamped right out of the gate. So if people want to keep track of what you're up to and what Blitz is up to, what's the best places for them to keep up with what your progress?
So Blitz, the URL for Blitz is blitz.co. So and there there'll be blogs, there'll be updates, and of course you can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. The website will pretty much get you most of the information that you guys need.
Perfect. So it's blitz.co.
No, it's blitzz.co. So right. Two Z's.
Two Z's. I wanted to make sure it was a test. So you can hop on over. We'll have all those links over in the show notes over at Kill Innovations, so that you can check them out and check them out. Right. I think this is a proof point of innovation patience. Because there's been a lot of attempts to try to do this in the past, but bandwidth wasn't there, the smartphones weren't quite there yet. You know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, when Steve was doing the iPhone, he had it basically done, but then had to wait for 5 years to get another round of silicon and another round of, you know, wireless broadband and all the right elements. And I think you are right. I think the timing for this, particularly with the familiarity of people using video for family communications, it just becomes, you know, just the natural extension. In my case, I just bought, you know, I don't know, 6 Facebook portal devices from all my grandkids and kids so I can spoil my grandkids from remote, even when I'm traveling on the road. So, hey, Ram, thanks a lot for taking the time out today, joining us here on the show. Really appreciate it. And we'll stay in touch, obviously, and hopefully maybe have you back for an update at some point as Blitz continues on in its progress. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for your time and this opportunity, Phil.
Thanks. So with that, we're going to wrap up this segment. We do have a segment 4, as you all know. It is be a new episode of 5 Minutes to New Ideas. These are short 5-minute segments posing some interesting and sometimes crazy questions to get you to think a little bit differently about the opportunities that are before you, and hopefully help kickstart your ability to come up with new ideas, new products, new services, or whatever it is that you are working on. Just so you know, 5 Minutes to New Ideas is also a standalone podcast. So if you've got a short time frame and want to do something that you can snack on, you can get that. Those are all available over on iHeart and Spotify and iTunes and Google Play, etc. So you can get the 5-minute segments as a standalone podcast. So check that out. But don't go anywhere. We've got a new episode for 5 Minutes to New Ideas right after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Kill Innovations on the Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Back in the early days of this show, I would share what I called a killer question in each episode. These questions were designed to be used in your personal, team, or organization's innovation efforts. Now, based on feedback from listeners just like you, we've decided to bring it back with some improvements. Each episode of the Killer Innovations has a segment that I'm now calling 5 Minutes to New Ideas. It's designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself, your business, and your products and services by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. These questions are designed to force you to look beyond the obvious and to uncover ideas and opportunities you never before considered. So, get out your notebook and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. My wife is famous for being more than a little frugal. She once routed me and our son Logan from Las Vegas to Phoenix to LA and finally to San Jose because she could save $20 each over the nonstop fare. Kind of nuts, right? But if I'm honest, I have the same mindset in one respect. I am determined to squeeze everything I can out of any idea or opportunity that is available to me. I'm diligent about looking at information and ideas that supposedly, quote, had no value and wondering, hey, maybe they do have value. What I mean by this is simple. Just because you or your business has always operated under the assumption that something, be it data, ideas, or scraps from the manufacturing process, is essentially worthless, it doesn't mean that that assumption was ever or still is true. I constantly review the stuff that gets thrown away and ask myself, is there value here? One of my big breaks was becoming one of the early executives at Telligent in 1997. Telligent provided phone service to businesses across the United States and in 12 countries. The core product was voice and data services to business. There wasn't much to differentiate us from our competitors. Basically, we were all competing on the same fundamental premise, providing a good, reliable service at a cheaper price. Here's the problem with that. If there are no significant differences between you and your competitors, you are essentially in a stalemate until one of you finds a way to differentiate from the pack. So even as our company continued to hum along nicely, I started asking the questions about who we were, what we were doing, and how we were doing it. I started doing some internal investigating about the information we were gathering from our customers. After a little persistence, I got a hold of the complete call detail records for our network. In the telecom industry, the network throws away any record that is not relevant to billing. The result was that 70% of the information in call detail records was thrown away. A customer rang a business, the line was free, the call was answered, and a charge was added to the bill. Great, that's how we make money. But looking through the full call detail records, I noticed something interesting. The log showed not only the calls that succeeded, but also the calls that failed. For each business, there were pages and pages of incoming calls that were not completed, usually because the line was busy or the calls were coming before or after business hours. This was information that was thrown away. We didn't bill for failed calls, so there was no need to document them or supply the information to the customer. But think about it. Surely knowing that a potential customer tried and failed to make contact with you is invaluable information. Furthermore, isn't it kind of information you would gladly pay for? As soon as I saw the connection between this worthless information and our customers' needs, I got up and walked over to our CEO, Alex Mandel's office, and quickly pitched him a completely new kind of service that we eventually launched as Imagine. Imagine was a game-changing concept that allowed us to take a leadership role in the market. For a monthly fee, we offered our customers detailed breakdowns of all incoming calls that failed to get through, as well as additional services like instantaneous email notifications of each missed call. We supplied the names and addresses of every incoming call, so a business owner could then send out a coupon to every caller the next day. Sounds simple? Think about the small or medium-sized business owner whose margins depend on making every single sale. If that new customer doesn't get through to you, they are simply going to ring the next number in the phone book. They have no loyalty to you, and you've lost a sale and a potential long-term customer. But if you get instant notification of that call and can ring back right away, you've got a fighting chance. You are still in the game. Our customers loved Imagine. By giving them the edge in their own business, we cemented their loyalty to ours. By taking something we had historically thought had no value and creating something our customers valued out of it, we turned it into a game changer. Look more closely at your operations and stop worrying about the assets or attributes that you think you don't have. Instead, try turning inward and focusing on the questions, what attributes do I not realize I have? Our competitors had all the exact same logs and information as we did, yet they didn't recognize their value. We saw this information had worth, and we used it to clobber them. Think it's a dumb idea? Zoos used to pay a small fortune to have manure hauled away. Then someone had the bright idea to package the manure and market it towards gardeners. Now gardeners buy gallons of elephant manure for up to $20 a pop, and they do the hauling for free. So ask yourself, what are you throwing away because you assume it has no value? Warning, it's easy to overlook what you think is garbage. As the old saying goes, one person's garbage is another man's treasure. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. Now, the reason I've been doing this show since 2005 is to pay back my early mentor by paying it forward. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he just laughed and said, I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. This episode of Kill Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog over at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.